it was a fun night of football last night. Not so much the first game, but that second game, that Washington Commanders Cincinnati Bengals game. That was a fun watch. It was a good watch. We've complained there's been a lot of bad football, a lot of sloppy football out there, and it wasn't the prettiest game the entire time, but every time that Commanders QB, a rookie, Jaden Daniels, dropped back to pass, something good happened, it seemed like, and he was throwing darts out there with pressure in his face. He looked like he progressed a year almost in these first 3 weeks.
You like
that
him?
That was an impressive performance last night.
You like him?
I do.
Like the whole package, like you
like him.
Yeah, kinda. I mean, are you all in? You think as a leader, as a spokesman, as whatever goes into the position, do the Washington Commanders have their quarterback? Is he a top 10 franchise guy moving forward?
I'm not going to pretend like I know everything that happened in the preseason and camp and all that, because I didn't follow it that closely.
He
didn't do much. That's true. But he was already named the starter. He was going to be the starter. They believed in him. They said that from the very beginning, from the rip, basically. You're going to be our starter. Same with Williams in Chicago. That was a decision that got made right away. So, you know, that was different expectations, obviously, and they expected him to be good and ready to go. And he'd been in college for a long time, so, I mean, that's a reasonable expectation. And after 2 weeks that were schmeh, you know, not great, first week in particular, second week was better, and this third week he was great. I mean, he was great last night.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's the first great performance. Nix was good on Sunday. He wasn't great. Williams hasn't been great yet. That was the first great performance by a rookie, and we're in week three.
And to what do you, because we've had a lot of this, because we're comparing everything these days, because we're in that world. So we're comparing, you know, if you took Alex Van Pelt and put him on the Commanders and you put Cliff Kingsbury here, blah, like, to what do you attribute the success? Is it Terry McLaurin? Is their offensive line better? Is it Cliff Kingsbury in his system? Is it just that he's a two-school, 55-start, experienced college quarterback that's more NFL ready? Remember, Mac Jones was NFL ready. I don't know how that panned out for him.
Like his rookie year, he was ready. He was fine.
Yeah, as long as somebody was holding his hand, and that's my point here.
After that,
Josh McDaniels stopped holding his hand. Now, to be fair, they pushed him into traffic with nobody even helping him. It was sort of an extreme change there. To what do you attribute Jaden Daniels' success last night? Was that Jaden Daniels?
Yes.
So it's all Jaden Daniels?
Not all Jaden Daniels. I do think that he got a nice performance from Terry McLaurin, and I think the line held up okay. You know, he definitely had more time to throw than Jacoby Brissett has, but he also was making plays with his feet, and he was just a dynamic weapon out there. I'd say it was mostly to do with him. He lost his running back. He lost Eckler, I think, had a concussion. He went out with a concussion. I think Robinson had a touchdown. But for the most part, yeah, I mean, I think he was the X factor, absolutely.
You know who I attribute it to?
Who?
The guy who was in the crowd pounding on his T-shirt. His dad. Did you see that? Every time he did something good, his dad had like a Jaden Daniels T-shirt
on. I saw that guy.
On.
I didn't know it was his dad.
Yeah, it was his dad. And he's like, that's mine. That comes from me.
Like
that's,
that old man.
My son.
Remember that old man who'd go to Celtics games with like the camel hair smoker's jacket who would do the KG chest pump? Remember
that
guy?
Yeah, yeah.
That guy was cool.
But this was actually Jaden Daniels' dad, so I think it's kind of cool.
That is cool.
I mean, ease off on it like the first game. I wouldn't do that every game.
Uh-huh.
At some point, leave the spotlight to your son and maybe just sit back and
game.
Yeah, go into a luxury suite and have a beer and enjoy the show. But I did enjoy that. No, I are the Commanders that much more? Because this was the question to Elliot Wolf and everybody. Are you built to support a young quarterback? And Elliot Wolf was all in. And Elliot Wolf was dead wrong. Because even though we haven't seen the young quarterback, we are quite sure that this line is not able to support.
Right.
Hell, they're not able to support the veteran who's been in the league for 10 years, never mind the young guy. But I just, the biggest difference for me that I see, I don't know that that line is elite. I don't know whose line.
Washington's line?
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't consider that. They have the guard's good.
They're fine.
I think he's pretty good. Considered a good guard in the league, but they don't have a great offensive line by any means. No, I think it's considered pretty weak.
Honestly. I do personally believe that Terry McLaurin is one of the more underrated receivers in football. I think you're going to see him benefit most from Jaden Daniels and the evolution of him. I think Cliff Kingsbury is a guy that, I mean, people want to tell you he's great, but then he's fired at college. He's fired in the NFL.
Yep.
He was supposed to be the perfect fit with Kyler Murray. He isn't. We'll see if he's the perfect fit with Jaden Daniels. And if he is, you know what it might be? Jaden Daniels is better because I think Kyler Murray's overrated.
Could be that. Washington's a team that has, you know, beef up front in those two, Allen and Payne, right? Those guys?
Yeah, those are the two highest paid players on the team. I believe they were talking about the highest paid tandem of tackles in the NFL.
Of defensive tackles, yeah.
And they haven't played all that well.
Like, who are those guys in the Vikings?
Oh, yeah.
Kevin and Pat Williams, remember those guys? Those they were
Williams Wall or something they called it.
Yeah. Yeah, those guys were something. But like this is it's a new day, obviously. You're not trying to plug up the run as much anymore. But that's where that team is. I mean, they've invested in sort of weird places. McLaurin was a third round pick, I think. He did get paid. But
he's good.
He's very good.
He's very, very good.
He's a weapon. He's 1,000 yards every year. He's consistent. And he's someone that they feel like is a good enough piece to have in place, even if the line's not quite there. If you have a weapon, if you have an outlet, a binky, if you will, you know, like Brady had all those years. Oh, he has binkies. If you have a binky for your young quarterback, and it's someone like McLaurin who can go out and make plays and not just be a good possession receiver, but make plays down the field, oh, that's invaluable. It really is.
And then the next step is they have a defensive coach.
Yep.
Dan Quinn. Did he make the decision that Jaden Daniels was starting from day one? Did Cliff Kingsbury make the decision? Did their GM make the decision? The guy I'm drawing a blank on from the 49ers that came in, who made that decision? Because I'm starting to find that the most interesting part of this. Not really whether, oh, is the line good? Did you have a plan? Who's pulling the strings? Who's the man behind the curtain? Because I don't feel like it's Gerard Mayo, and I'm not sure if it's Alex Van Pelt, because it seems like a lot to put on the plate of Alex Van Pelt in his first time running an offense, building an offense. I'm starting to think that Elliot Wolf is really behind the scenes doing everything here, for better or worse. And I'm not saying he shouldn't be, by the way. He's been around the NFL a long time. Mm-hmm. He's sort of got the resume and the heritage with his dad and everything, a stopwatch, combine, blah, blah, blah. But I also don't know, is he doing it just because it's the Packer way? You know, like, we do
it's
the Packer way.
He knows. You know, it's the way that he's familiar with.
Because this is not a Hall of Fame quarterback in front of the guy he's not playing.
True.
That's the big difference that everybody fails to acknowledge. No one sits behind crappy quarterbacks. They sit behind good quarterbacks. No one sits, and that was disrespectful. No one sits behind journeyman backup quarterbacks.
And that was much more respectful.
Well, crappy's not very nice. Jacoby Brissett a lot, and he hasn't been crappy. I agree with Curran. He's been excellent in the role he's been thrust into.
He's crappy, now he's excellent.
Yeah, I mean.
That was a pretty quick 180 there, Andy. Well, come on.
It was an awaken 180 moment.
That's, you know what? Sponsored by Awaken 180, the Andy Hart 180, which you just saw happen in 3 seconds. He went from crappy to excellent.
Well, I was disrespectful.
Sponsored by Awaken 180. Well, you don't have to overcompensate on the other side.
I'm going the other way. Curran said excellent, not me. I'm just agreeing with
it. Yeah, well, you agree with it, so you're co-signing that. Very much over-compensatory take on Jacoby Brissett.
He's
not been excellent. He had under 100 yards last week. Come on.
Well, I mean, it wasn't just him.
No, it wasn't, but he's a quarterback.
The whole damn team stunk.
Okay, so he was excellent.
The whole damn team was crappy, and I'm not taking it back.
Was bad except for him, who was excellent, is what you're saying.
Oh, in the totality of the season. I'm using Gerard Mayo's word.
Okay, fine.
That's how he won the job,
the
totality
of the season. Jacoby Brissett and the offense have been bad. They've all been bad.
Yeah, but mostly the line has been bad, and the receivers have been bad, and Brissett has been meh.
Has been excellent.
In his role.
Another Awaken 180 here from Andy Hart. Amazing.
Isn't that a 360?
Yes, I believe that is
I'm like a skateboarder or something.
It's X
like
Games.
Tony
I was
Hawk
told there'd
here.
Be no math.
X Games Andy just spinning around through the air. I'm like tomato can.
Yeah. Ollie Andy over here. Tony Hawk. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. All right, your rookie quarterbacks now. All three of them have had at least one good game. Caleb Williams didn't win his good game, but he had good numbers. He had 2 touchdown passes, and that was a close game. They didn't win, but it was a close game. He won there.
I thought all that was all that mattered.
Winning. Not to me. I think Drake May could go out there, have good games, put up good numbers. The team loses, and I'd be happy as hell. Honestly, I'd be very.
Oh, I'll
I'd
be ecstatic
fine with that. Yeah.
If Drake May looks good and the team looks bad, you know what that's called? Cha and Ching. Number one pick or number two pick, whatever you end up with. Because there are some other crappy teams out there that you're going to have to be battling.
That's true. And I can't wait to see Drake May throwing a Travis Hunter next year, because that'd be nice.
Would you take Travis? No. Get the hell out of here.
No what?
How are we fixing the line?
Now do the line later.
And that's what gets you in trouble. You know what that is?
You need wide receivers, too.
That's Bill Belichick ripping Ryan Poles.
You need a wide receiver, and you're going to need some help at cornerback as well, Jonathan Jones.
He's not playing both ways.
What do you mean he's not playing both ways?
He's not playing both ways.
Why not?
It's not sustainable.
How do you know?
Because this team's afraid to play their quarterback. You think they're going to play their number one overall or number two overall pick both ways?
Julian Edelman was played both ways briefly.
As did
Troy Brown briefly.
Briefly. Out of pure desperation.
Wasn't Richard Sherman a receiver at Stanford, too? Didn't he play both ways in college? And
I don't think he played both ways. He was a receiver, I think, transitioned over to corner.
I see.
But do I think Travis Hunter could play both ways in a pinch if, like, 3 guys get hurt, whatever? Sure. But they're not going to play him both ways, and I wouldn't. He is a stud receiver.
He is.
Now, he's pretty good on defense, too.
I know.
Ever since I realized I've started watching more like the rest of the country.
That's what they said about Ohtani. There's no way he can pitch and hit and do that for a full season. And by the way, he hasn't really done much of that lately. But still, they said it was impossible. There's no way. And he did it for 4 years. So, you know.
And when he hit only, he hit like no one's ever hit before.
He did. I'm just saying. I'd take Travis Hunter and I'd try him out both. I would not.
I would put him out there and say, you're a dynamic weapon. I want 15 touchdowns, 1,500 yards. You are the centerpiece of my offense, Drake May. The problem is you're taking him and we don't have a tackle now.
True.
So now it's sacked Drake May. Travis Hunter's upset on the sideline. Deion's calling him after the game, telling him to get traded.
Yeah, it's probably true. But I do think you can also address that later. I don't know exactly what the tackle situation is going to look like in the first round if those guys are going to be blue chip
prospects.
Two top
10 picks. Will Campbell and the other guy.
There are right now, and we'll see if it continues that way. It's a long college season here. So we'll see. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's take a call here before we go to break. Jim is up in New Hampshire. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Hey, just like to say, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan.
Okay.
But
sorry.
I live in New England.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers, Jim.
But I just don't understand. Yeah, sorry. I am, too. I've been a Cleveland Browns fan for like 50 years. But I just don't understand why they're not playing Drake May. I mean, Jacoby played for the Browns, and he's just filling a void. And it's like, you know, can you put in Drake May? I mean, what do you have to lose?
Yeah, Jim, I'm with you.
Drake May.
Frady can't Andy over here wants to wait another week, but I'm ready for him to go in this week.
I'm not going to throw him to the Wolves. It's 1 week. What is going to be lost if you don't play Drake May this week? What's the big deal?
It'll be another week of experience that he's
that
not
ship
gonna
has
get.
Sailed. That ship sailed in August when they didn't play him against the Panthers backups. The
okay,
worst
fine,
team in football
the regular
played their
season.
Backups.
Now you're in the regular season. You can go out there and play him.
So if he only starts the final 13 games of the year, his career will never go anywhere. But if he starts the final 14 games of the season, his career will take off. No.
All right. If he sits the entire season, then what's the dare? I mean, if we're going to do that, then who cares? What if he sits
extreme.
The entire year?
We're talking
is
about
it?
Week to week.
Fine.
We're talking about this week to next week.
So
we're talking about a road game against a tough defense and a high scoring offense.
Well, they'll never have another road game against a tough defense again.
Why would you put him out there to make his debut there? Don't
because
you want his debut to be a soft
about
opening?
His debut? I don't care. About his debut. I don't think it needs to be a sweet 16 birthday party where everything has to be perfect and the right song has
they
to be
have decided
for
that.
The big dance and then you know you get your big car with a bow on it out front. I don't care about any of that.
This isn't
a sweet 16. This is an NFL debut.
They do.
I don't think that's the right thing to focus on.
That's the reality. They've already gone down the path of protecting Drake May, so to change course now in this choose-your-own-adventure book and just throw him off a frickin' waterfall in a barrel.
It's not
would
that
be
bad.
Dumb.
The Niners just lost to the Vikings, all right? I mean, it's not like there's some indestructible
team. The Vikings
team.
Are good.
Fine. So
the Patriots are not unbeatable.
They're not an unbeatable team, I guess, is my point. The Niners are good. They're better than you. They're going to be without McCaffrey and without Deebo Samuel. It's not like
and you're going to be without a left tackle.
Fine, but they're not the 72 Dolphins here, okay? I mean, they're a team. They haven't even won a championship yet.
I don't care about championships. I'm talking about this matchup this week.
Right.
They could embarrass you up front.
Maybe they can.
I know they're banged
up. Most teams are going to. Every team's going to embarrass the Patriots up front this
not
year.
Not every team is
yes,
as
they
good
are.
Up front as the 49ers defense.
They're not
is
as good,
good
as the Niners, but the Patriots are as bad as they
so
are.
So why would you rush?
Embarrassed up front,
so
just like they did against the Bengals and the teams they played this year.
Why would you slow play it only to then rush it at the end? It makes no sense.
Because
that's
I think slow playing, it was a mistake.
Okay, but they went
I'm
down
trying
the mistake
to undo
road.
The mistake. All right, well, undo
no,
the
you're
mistake.
Gonna two mistakes. You're gonna compound the mistake. That's what you're gonna do here.
But 1 week is the difference between it being a mistake and not a mistake.
You don't see the difference between playing at home against the Dolphins and a backup quarterback, a team that scored less points than you, or on the road against the 49ers defense and a good all-around football team, even if banged up. You don't see the difference there?
I do think there's a difference, but I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. I really don't.
What
I think
do
we're talking
matter?
It doesn't matter because, first of all, he can go out there and have a bad game against the Dolphins and throw interceptions and get sacked and all those same things. And if he does it at home in front of the home crowd and still has a bad game, then what's the difference?
Where
and
do you
also,
think it's more likely? Which
I,
game?
Either one of them, I think,
no, no,
is
no, which is more
likely? That he gets sacked or throws
interceptions? That he has a bad, tough game.
I think that could happen against Jalen Ramsey, absolutely.
Which is more likely? I didn't ask you if it could. It can happen anytime you take the field. Which is more likely?
I'd say the Niners' defense is a little bit better.
Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate it. It took some pulling, but I got it out of you.
And I don't think it matters, though. Just because the Niners' defense is a little bit better doesn't mean
but
that you
they
have
to
sit them down. They're wrong.
Then they should have started them in week one, but they've already gone down the protection road, so to go take a sharp right off a cliff like Thelma and Louise would be idiotic.
Okay, but you have 3 weeks of seeing what this offense looks like without him. And sure. I've seen enough. I think they should have seen enough by now, too.
Well, you're losing the game either way.
Now you got to put the kid
in. They're going to be honest. You're losing the game either way.
And what if he goes out and has a good game, by the way?
That'd
be
great.
If he goes out and he looks like Jaden Daniels against the 49ers, then what?
I'd be just as happy if he does it against the Dolphins at home.
Oh, you wouldn't be more happy if he does it against
the Dolphins?
I'll never
know, because that game's
on you then.
That game's already behind us.
Is it?
If I get to the Dolphins game.
All right, fine. But what if Brissett goes out and stubs his toe, and then he's got to go out there and play the
Well, now you get into the Burt Breer thing, where now you're supposed to bring in another veteran quarterback when you already had Bailey Zappe, somebody to play.
I'm not doing that. Come on.
That's Burt Breer's theory.
617-779-7937 is the phone
number. Why are you two just bitching? Because it's 5 o'clock, and it happens in the 5 o'clock hour every day. If you like it, well, you're welcome. If you hate it, I don't know. Go screw.
Yeah. Get out of our face. You know, what do you want from me? 617-779-7937. Phones are starting to fill up, so if you do want to jump in on this, go ahead.
Walter!
Stiz is going to tell you what's trending, and then ESPN has already projected next year's draft order, and they've done it through the very scientific, I don't know exactly what the process is, but I know it's very scientific, and the Patriots will be drafting third again if things keep up like this. We'll get into that next.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Yeah, you guys start arguing and now the phone lines are lighting up. You're getting people all riled up. All right, let's get you caught up with what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Red Sox still mathematically in it after beating the Blue Jays 4-1 last night in Toronto. They'll run it back again tonight. First pitch at 7:07. Across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Our coverage begins at 6:07 with the MassMutual pregame show. The Red Sox remain 3.5 games behind in the final wildcard spot. Fangraphs currently gives them a 0.3 chance to make the playoffs. So you're saying there's a chance. Patriots have the day off today. They'll be back on the practice field tomorrow as they continue to get ready for their Week 3 game against the 49ers. Kickoff at 4:05 from Levi's Stadium. Monday Night Football last night, doubleheader. The Commanders beat the Bengals 38-33. Jaden Daniels goes 21 for 23, 254 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Bills beat the Jags 47-10. Josh Allen going 23 for 30, 263 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And the Bruins will play their second preseason game tonight. They'll host the Capitals. Puck drops from the TD Garden at 7 p.m. Trending brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Learn how Awaken 180 has a 98% customer satisfaction rating. Proven results when you choose the solution for weight loss at Awaken 180. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show coming up.
Strad Mayo yesterday. And he sort of, again, and he hadn't done this in a while, but had to go back on a statement about resetting expectations. He's like, it's not really what I meant. You know, and maybe I misspoke when I said that. But I don't think he did. You do have to reset expectations. After week one, expectations changed, and now they're getting reset. I mean, that's the way it works over the course of a season. In an NFL season, your expectations probably reset 2 or 3 times in general, I'd say.
At least.
With most teams. Some teams are good or bad the entire year, and it doesn't matter. But, like, for most teams, you have at least 1 or 2 times where you say, okay, it seemed like we were on a path for something. Now we're on the path for something else. It was brief that it was positive here with this Patriots team, and I think it's going to be an ugly loss this weekend. But either way, resetting expectations, that's something this team's going to have to learn how to get good at and project well with, too, because you're going to have to do that a lot, you know, like until expectations hit rock bottom. But they're not quite there yet.
Remember when Devon Godchaw was so disrespected that the Bengals were favored by 7, 7.5?
Right.
So if he was disrespected then, he must have felt a great deal of respect for the Jets only being favored by 6.5 and then wiping the Jet Life Stadium field with them, correct?
Probably, yes.
Right? So, like, that's how expectations work. There were certain expectations week one. There's expectations every time you take the field.
Niners, by the way, opened as 9.5 point favorites. Very, very disrespectful.
Well, I thought it was 10.5.
Oh, 10.5. I'm looking at 9.5 on the ESPN's page, but I haven't checked it on the apps yet. I just happened to open the
either way, Devon Godchaw, don't look in your gambling app, especially not on Gillette Stadium.
Or do look in the gambling app if you need the motivation.
Maybe
that's what you need
and
to do.
And shut down Mason and shut down the running game and do whatever you need to do. Get to Purdy because he's banged up and sore. So maybe you can help out in that area.
Yeah, maybe. I'm checking FanDuel right now to see if that's where the line is still at. I am seeing Patriots and Niners, and now I'm seeing 10.
Yeah.
No hook, just 10.
So,
very disrespectful.
Yeah, but you want to play Drake May. Anyway, let's...
Yes, I do want to play Drake
May. Let's go... I'm going to read a couple texts.
You play Drake May, you might cover that 9.5. or even the 10.
Speaking of that, I'm going to read a couple texts. 207, Arcand hates heart so much.
Totally.
It's only been 1 month.
That was me texting that, actually, yeah.
That was actually impressive by me, though, if I got you to hate me in less than a month.
Hey, listen.
I mean, how long did it take to hate Jones?
pretty quick, yeah. I'd say that was a pretty quick one, too.
Then there's somebody on the Twitch chat suggested that we call 5 o'clock the bitching hour.
That's a great idea.
We need imaging for that.
We do.
I like that. And then somebody asked me, are we going to sit May every time he has to play a good team? Why are we hiding him from them now? He's never played before. You think it's the same making your first career performance as opposed to, like, your 10th?
No, I don't think so.
Like, the first one is different, right? He's never done it before. Literally never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to do it in one of the worst situations possible. Weird trip. You're leaving on Friday. It's across the country. Tom Curran would be flipping out because their clocks will be all off when they set their alarm clock for the game. That'll all be messed up. And you play a good defense and a good offense. They're going to score some points. And it's just probably not an ideal best start when a week later... You can come home to sunny Gillette Stadium with the bell ringing. They'll have some celebrity up there ringing the damn bell in front of a nice crowd against a third-string quarterback who scores less points than your team does. Just seems nicer.
That would be nicer, sure, but I don't care about it being nicer. I care about
you just want to break him in
and getting him going and seeing if he can do anything against the tough Niners defense, which, again, I acknowledge is better than the Dolphins defense and probably better than the Texans or the Jaguars or the Jets or the Bears or any of these other teams that you have to play. It might be the best defense you play all season, but that doesn't mean I don't want him to face them. You know, he's still an NFL quarterback.
He's not.
I know, but he's on an NFL team. And you're going to make your debut at some point. I think the team needs him now. And if it's not the most perfect landing spot in the whole world, oh, well, too bad. It's the NFL, kid. Sorry, you got to go out there. That's how I feel about it. 617.
Slap on the ass.
Yeah, right. Rub some dirt on it. Get back out there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones and talk to our good friend David in the car. Go ahead, David.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So has anybody given any that Drake...
All right, David, your connection's really bad, but it says here on the call screen that Drake may have made a mistake coming out now instead of playing another year and coming out next year.
Why is that? He went third in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could he have gone slightly higher next year? Maybe.
Or would he have gotten more playing time right away?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know where he lands. He could have landed. Is this the worst situation you could land in the NFL?
It's right up there.
Really?
The Patriots?
Yeah.
These Patriots with this offensive line and these wide receivers?
No, and this ownership and this coach and this GM and everything.
Well.
Is this the worst situation? If you believe it, that's okay.
I'd say it's in the bottom five.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the worst, but I'd say it's down there.
Because next year, if he comes out, he could go to Carolina.
Sure.
Would that be bad?
Unless Andy Dalton rides that red rocket right to the playoffs.
We're not doing that at the 5 o'clock hour.
No, we're not.
Got to wait till at least after 10.
I didn't think that went through.
Jesus.
I just blurted it right
What
out.
Are we doing?
Dump that. 617-779-7937. If he stayed another year, he's got
what
a dog,
doing?
Maybe. I don't know.
Jesus.
If he stayed another year and got drafted, then no one would be saying, hey, we got to protect this kid. We got to keep him off the, right? Like, they'd be
saying because he'd have
another
year
starter right away. Yes.
He wouldn't have as many starts as Knicks or Daniels or Penix.
No, but he'd be a lot closer
to those guys.
They're
like 5-year players.
Right, he'd be closer to those guys, though.
I just know where the line is. Because Joe Burrow started for 1 year, and he came to the Bengals, and he was fine.
Yep.
Like, and, you know, Josh Allen never started at a level anywhere near close to any of these guys.
Right.
And he was fine. And Trey Lance started at a level nowhere near close to any of these guys, and he stinks, and he's not an NFL quarterback. Like, they're all different. Right, they're all. You just have to make
they're
analysis.
They're all like special snowflakes.
They are, and some of them melt, and some of them don't.
Right,
like you want the one that sticks and stacks up. Right,
I would like that. Yes,
and you believe that's the other thing that I want.
This metaphor,
I know, a little far. Well, I wanted to get away from your last metaphor about the red rifle,
the red
doing
rocket.
Things that
yeah.
we don't need to talk about.
Okay,
so I want to go back to Taylor Rook's interview with Robert Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody fixated on one piece of information that
on
he said 5 years ago. I think the more interesting piece of information, whether it be true or a lie, they're now on the record. There were three quarterbacks. The one we wanted fell to us. Do you believe that? Or do you believe if they had the second pick, they would have taken Jaden Daniels? If they had had the first pick, would they have taken Caleb Williams? Or did the quarterback they want fall to them? Do you believe that?
I don't believe that. I think if they had the first pick, they would have taken Williams. If they had the second pick, they would have taken Daniels.
I kind of do, too.
I think
the quarterbacks fell in
line.
That's
exactly what they would have done.
I think most people saw it that way. Mm-hmm. I think most people thought there was a clear, A, three of them that were the group of, like, franchise right. top picks, and then in order, that was them. Now, people tried to get crazy. Oh, Caleb Williams cried on his mother's shoulder, and he did this. And, like, we overanalyzed it, but I think in general, it was 1, 2, 3, the order they went. You were third. You took the third.
Yep.
Okay.
And I think that's the way it would have gone if they had picked second. I think they would have taken Daniels if they went first. They would have gotten Caleb Williams. There would have been too much pressure to go that way. And I don't think a brand new GM and a brand new head coach and everybody would have gotten cute with that pick. That's how I feel.
Right.
617-779-7937. Walter is in Worcester. Hey, Walter in Worcester.
Walter.
Oh, you know, I guess we have to be nice, and we have to wait until it's all nicey-nicey. I guess I was wrong. I guess I thought we drafted a football player, but we drafted a wiffle ball player instead. I mean, come on, guys. He's a football player. He can go out there and play. And apparently, all the other coaches don't have it right. Our first-year coach and our first-year GM, they're doing it right. Those quarterbacks are getting better. Our quarterback isn't, because he's sitting on the sideline eating cotton candy and saying, oh, I can't get hit, coach. You know, we have Bull Picks Nix, who's getting better. Daniels had a great game. He looks like a stud. And our guy is just sitting on the sideline doing nothing, holding a clipboard. Come on. We have to be nice. It's football. Football is football. Nice.
Thank you, Walter. That was a good call, Walter.
That
call
was
back anytime. Walter, anytime you want. We'll give you a special direct line. How about that?
In week one, I agree with it. But they've already gone down a road, so now that I think they have to see it through.
Just because you went down the road and it's the wrong road doesn't mean you have to stay on the road. You know,
it's no, okay, but it doesn't mean you have to drive off a
okay
cliff
to
either.
Circle back or to cut across to the other road or do whatever you have
or
to
drive
do to
off
get
a
on
cliff.
The right road. You don't have to drive off a cliff either. I don't think
this
is driving
be.
Off a
yeah,
cliff.
Would
I don't think it is. I really don't.
It'd be a dramatic shift that would also, beyond whatever happens with Drake May in the game, I think would really bring into question the plan and Mayo and the leadership.
Screw the plan. The plan sucks. I hate the plan. The plan was always a lousy plan, I thought. I've never been a fan of this plan. Not from the beginning, not from week one, not in the preseason, and not right now. It's always time to change course, and get on a new plan because I don't like this one. And I don't think it's doing him any favors. I think the caller's right. These other quarterbacks are getting better. And I think even playing against the Niners and going out there and getting your ass kicked is ultimately going to be a good thing for Drake May if he is what we think he is. If he's a good quarterback who can play in the league, then he can go out there and have a bad game against the Niners and have it not completely ruin him.
Now you're preaching my side of the street. You can't break a diamond.
Right. But you don't want to play him against the Niners.
Well, because it's...
Because precious little Drake May has to have everything perfect for his
big debut. It almost feels like
why.
You're effing with him. If you put him out there against the Niners, I think it almost feels like you're
He doesn't want to play. You don't think he doesn't want to play
in
that game?
If I'm him, I'm like, wait, why didn't I start week one? Now you're going to send me out here against the Niners when you realize your line is worse than it's ever been, and we stink, and I get a fumbling running back, like... I would have rather started from day one, put a C on my chest like they did for Bo Nix.
Would have been great.
Call me a captain, call me a leader, and send me out there. And then I will drive this damn ship into an iceberg or whatever, but I'll do it as the leader. Now it's like I'm sitting in the back, and now all of a sudden they're like, come replace the captain. Come be the captain. And you're like, wait a minute, the iceberg's like 5 feet away. I don't want to be the one to run it into the iceberg.
Fine, but as long as he's the backup quarterback, that could happen anyway. I mean, it could happen in the first series of the game. Yeah. He'd have to be out there, and he'd have to do it, so you might as well get it over with. That's my point.
Or wait till the Miami game.
Let's go to Liz, who is in Amherst. Hello, Liz.
Hey, I do not agree with protect Drake May. Oh, he can't go to the West Coast. It's going to kill him. Well, come on. He's 22 years old. He can do anything. Besides that, the morale of all the fans and the players is getting so low that if you don't put this guy in, this whole season's shot. Thank you.
You're welcome,
thank
Liz.
You, Liz.
That was also a very good call. We're getting good calls in the 5 o'clock hour today.
It's
Liz,
the bitching hour.
Anytime. It's the bitching hour. That's
it
why.
It brings out the best in people because everybody at their core wants to bitch.
Yes.
That's just true. The reality. Now, I do have...
And that wasn't, I mean, she was. I didn't think she was bitching there. No, she had a good point.
I also have bad news for her. The season is lost.
Yeah.
It's not if this happens, the season is lost. This season is lost. It's a lost season. The best thing that happens this season is Drake May plays and develops, and then you get the number 1, 2, or 3 pick.
Texter in the 617 says, settle down, Arcand. I hope they sit him out all season just to spite you spazzes on the radio.
I don't know if you can say that.
You can't say spaz?
Didn't Tiger Woods get in trouble for that?
Didn't we have a guy named Spaz who worked there?
Yeah, he used to work with us up at
his name.
Yeah, right.
It was his name.
Was that his name?
Well, his,
I thought it was his nickname.
It was like Spaziani or something.
Yeah, yeah. Anthony Pazziali.
Oh, I didn't even know what his government name was.
But everyone calls him Spaz. You can say Spaz.
Okay, we're saying it a lot. We should probably move
on. We are saying it a lot.
I honestly had no idea it was even one of those words that some people
didn't
like.
Tiger once had to apologize because he called himself that after missing a putt or something.
Oh. And they said that's offensive.
He apologized. It offended somebody.
Oh, yeah, this world.
Hey, listen, I don't know.
You people are the problem.
Yeah, me and Arcan.
That's right.
Arcan and I.
We're very, very offensive. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls. Yes?
I just want to say, has the plan suddenly doing a disservice? It sounds like people are now mocking Drake May. It's not his decision. Like, oh, he's soft. He can't play. Like, my argument. For whatever, I'm arguing to wait a week. Drake May's not arguing to wait a week.
No,
don't tell me he's the poor wiffle ball player who can't play. He's soft. This is a man's sport. Whatever. Like, I hope people aren't turning this angst on Drake May. This has nothing to do with Drake May. I think if you told Drake May to start against the 49ers, he'd go out there and he'd compete his ass off against the 49ers.
Yeah, right? I think he would.
But don't you feel
like... And I think he wants to.
But don't you feel like people are starting to put a little bit of this on him, like he's the soft one, or they sense that he's soft?
Or that he's not ready.
Yeah, but...
Partially soft, partially that he's just not ready. He's unprepared.
What does ready mean?
I don't know.
Did he look ready the other night?
When he was in that game against
He made a mistake. He almost threw to the Jets. Then he ran. Then he took a sack. Then he threw a nice pass.
He looked ready to play in garbage time, yes. Does he look ready to start a game? I don't know. I have no idea.
I
want to see it.
Going to sound disrespectful.
Like.
This season is kind of all garbage time for the Patriots.
That's probably true.
Right?
Yeah.
So he's ready to compete. I think he has shown he's ready to compete, and I don't think he's shown any indication that he's soft or doesn't want to play or anything like that. So this isn't about Drake May.
No.
It's about them having a plan and us being idiots arguing about it.
That's true. This
on Drake May.
And it's not garbage time. It's garbage time for the Patriots, yes, but it's not going to be garbage time for the opponents that come in and play this team that are trying to make the playoffs and are, you know, working on their care about their standings and all of that. They're going to go into a game, at least in the first half or whatever, before it becomes a blowout or whatever ends up happening in these games. The Niners, I mean, they're probably going to kick their ass, whether it's Brissett or Drake May, and it's not going to be garbage time to start the game for them. That's why I think it matters who's starting these games.
Yeah.
You know, if May's out there in the beginning when you're getting the best shot of the other team,
as
opposed to in the second half when you're down 49-3 or whatever, and it's just, you know, guys are out there not making business decisions, that's different.
It's also part of my plan. Garbage time Jets, garbage time 49ers, real time Dolphins.
All right, we'll continue with your phone calls right after this. I thought that was an interesting answer from Gerard Mayo yesterday. First of all, they're doing slideshows, and one slide is just a picture of a mirror. It's like it's a picture of a mirror, so it's not really reflecting anything.
I was going to say, couldn't you get a really big mirror?
Get an actual mirror.
Yeah.
That might be a little more effective, but hey, whatever. That's not really the point. But when he starts talking about, hey, it's all our faults, and it's not about your mom or your aunt or your cousin or your somebody saying it's not your fault, not this, that, whatever, I hear that and I go, oh. So there's some buck passing going on already here. We're 3 weeks in and already, right? Not my fault. I don't know about that. You guys over there, you're not doing well, but it wasn't my fault. Like that type of stuff. In a locker room that already is sort of trying to find its way and trying to make it discover their identity and all that stuff, that's a bad identity to have. A buck passing, hey, it's not my fault type of offense that can't give you 100 yards passing and puts up 3 points, like that's about as bad as it gets.
Well, I will tell you that I didn't like last Friday DeMarcus Covington's conference call. Multiple allusions to, you know, this wasn't about scheme. This is about execution and technique and tackling. And I don't think he intended it the way it came off to me. But when the coach says it's not about scheme, he's basically saying,
right,
I had a good game plan. The scheme was great.
Mm-hmm.
Those 11
These
jackals.
Idiots out there
right,
couldn't execute
They
it,
couldn't
yeah.
do it. I thought that was, you know, CYA. Cover your ass there. Mm-hmm. Point fingers in a subtle way. And you're right. That gets easier as the weeks go on,
right,
as it compounds. And even the Pop Douglas stuff was sort of in that world of, well, maybe we'd win if we gave me the ball. It's about it's about me, it's not about
you
team.
You got the ball.
And you got your ass kicked.
Did not win.
Right?
Yeah.
So
his numbers were good. He did a good little game, but yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was not, I mean, listen, whatever
you got embarrassed
they were doing
on
offense,
streaming television.
Yeah, you certainly did. 617-779-7937. Kurt's down the Cape. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Kurt. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man, but I'm going to tell you something. I am so disappointed, you know, that we're going to have to call it Mayday. Remember when that happened, where we needed help But what happened, when you only score 3 points and you don't put him in at the beginning of that second half and see what we've got going there, then we had a shot. But they look like crap. They got lucky in the other game. The set has been horrible. Now we're worse than the Carolina Panthers because they got Andy Dalton.
Wow. Yeah, you might be onto something there, Kurt. I didn't expect him to come out for the second half because they got that field goal drive right before the half, right? Didn't they? They went on a drive. They kicked the field goal. The Jets got the ball back. Mm. They missed a field goal, and it seemed like maybe the offense was starting to do something there, right? I know there was two penalties that got involved, but whatever.
Ish.
You know, they had the couple three and outs. I think they had one. They picked up one first down the drive before, if I remember correctly, and then they had the field goal drive. And I don't think you'd pull them there. You know, if they got shut out in the half and you know didn't pick up a first down, which is almost what happened, then maybe you consider it. But I didn't have a big problem with that. I think that they put him in at the appropriate time.
Well, and it was garbage time.
Right.
They didn't put Drake May in because it gave them a chance to win the game. They waved the white flag and said, this is garbage time.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the game, subsequently, Jerod Mayo continues to say that Jacoby Brissett gives us the best chance to win. You know, if you do it to start the second half, you're doing it because you believe Drake May gives you the best chance to win.
Right.
Right. You've made a sort of significant shift in what's going on with your team, your offense, your organization, and they weren't intending to do that.
Yeah, I agree. Walter is in New Bedford. Hi, Walter. Another Walter.
Hey, how are you guys? This is my first time calling.
Welcome,
Walter.
It kind
of shows my frustrations. Kind of shows you my frustrations with this team, and I hope that someone from the Pats organization is listening.
Well, Walter, let me just tell you, before you get started here, this is the bitching hour, and this is the time when you can complain if you're frustrated. This is the time to do it, so go ahead.
I stopped watching the Pats when they got rid of Brady. And shame on Bob Kraft, who's a successful businessman, allowing the head of the franchise player leave our team. That's number one.
Yes.
Number two, doesn't he see what's going on? Hundreds and thousands of fans are pleading with him. Put Dre May out there to play. He's exciting to watch play. He can throw the ball. He can run. He's going to be the next Tom Brady in this team. I think that Kraft needs to get off his ass. He doesn't have too many years left in him. If he wants to win, he needs to get on. He needs to micromanage because I'm beginning to think it's more of a racial situation.
Okay, thanks, Walter. The call was okay. I don't know how to even get to that, but rather than hear that theory, I think we can just stop it right there. Either way, will Kraft get involved? Will Kraft get involved if it continues this way and Van Pelt stomps his feet and says, no, we have a plan for him. We're not going to put him in until I say he's ready, even though Mayo says it's his decision. If he continues to be a roadblock there, could you see the Krafts getting involved?
See, you changed it there because I was going to ask you. When you say, will Kraft get involved?
The Krafts get involved.
The Krafts. And we also tend to...
And the Glazer.
Well, but they're on a separate level.
Right.
But we also tend to group them together. They don't share a brain.
No, they don't.
There's
definitely
a potential for there to be a...
They generally pull in the same direction, though, I would say.
I think eventually they land on the same spot. I'm not sure they always start on the same spot, and I'm not sure right now they would be on the same spot in alliance. I think Jonathan would probably be more apt right now to say play Drake May. That's how I would think about it, where I think Robert might be willing to slow play it a little bit more, in part because slow playing it is a way to help Mayo, and Mayo is his hand-chosen guy. You have a belief that he's got 2-plus years here, correct?
Yes, I would say.
So what's the rush?
Right.
Yep. If there's any chance that there's an adverse effect on Drake May and then by extension an adverse effect on the team, why rush it if Jerod Mayo is my 2-3 year head coach no matter what, right? Why rush it?
If you're the Krafts, because fans become disinterested. That's
okay.
Why.
Disinterested for how long? Season tickets are still fine, right?
Until May starts playing. I don't know if they're fine. Are they fine?
I believe season tickets are fine. You're going to see issues, I think, on the back end of the season on the secondary market where we're going to be doing those, holy crap, you can get into Gillette today for $12.
Back-to-back four-win seasons, you think that'll continue? I mean, that's when people cancel their season.
Depends how Drake May plays. Because Drake May's going to play.
I'm saying if he doesn't play. No,
all year?
if he doesn't play until like the end of the season.
No, but I think like
by then a lot of fans will check out, and then if he's playing, well, okay, the season's
they'll check
over,
back
so
in.
They might, but
that's what quarterbacks do. Fine. That's how important quarterback is.
I agree, but then you've also lost three quarters, six, you know, whatever of the season, and that's something that you may not necessarily get all the way back. That's all.
But
I mean,
is he more ready? And that's my point. Like, if you're all in on Mayo, and then is he more ready by wherever, October, November, or December, and he plays even marginally well, there will be a positive bump going into the offseason. There will be an absolute positive bump if Drake May plays well, even if it's only three games. Let's just say it's three games, last three games of the year. I don't think it can be just like the last week, but if it's the last three games, that will be a positive bump going into the offseason.
Yes, and people will say, why didn't he play sooner? Why didn't he play sooner?
They
maybe
may say that,
season.
But they'll also
they'll
say that while signing up for their, you know, tickets and buying a jersey and looking ahead at the season and hoping you sign a tackle.
No one's buying jerseys. They're just writing May over their old Mac Jones jerseys.
They
that's
are.
What, that's what 50 said.
No, they are. Oh, you see those taped.
No one's actually buying Drake May jerseys.
You see those taped ones all the time.
Yeah.
But if he plays well late in the year, Christmas presents, whatever, there will be Drake May jerseys sold. But I do think the tie between Robert and Jerod Mayo for potentially 2 years, 3 years would lead Robert to be on the side of slow play for now. That could change if this becomes a debacle. And I do think if he looks down a month from now at Gillette Stadium and there's 30,000 people there, 25,000 people there, and the team stinks and they're not fun and ratings are down and all these things, that could change his mind. But I think right now, he'd probably be on the slow play side.
Maybe. I mean, this is they just had their one primetime game of the year. They just played it. So, you know, like, the process has already started.
Wait, didn't Jonathan Jones said until they flex us into primetime?
Yeah, okay.
I don't think that's happening.
We'll see. We'll see about that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. We got a couple extra minutes for you before we hand things over to Cooper Boardman and the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. We'll be right back. It's the biggest news story in the city right now. I mean, really. And it's
really
happened in the city. It happened in North Attleboro. As several, not just one, but several bulls.
Eight.
Escaped a rodeo and started running around. You said, you should just put up a fence if you don't want to get the coyotes in your yard. They had a fence there, I'm pretty sure, at that rodeo. And those bulls said, bleep your fence, and they were out of there.
Wait a minute, a bull is a lot bigger than a coyote.
Running through the yard. Yeah, coyotes can jump, though. They're running through the streets.
Coyotes not
jumping. Shut up about the coyotes. They're running around. They're running around the highway. There's citizen volunteers out there rounding them up.
In red.
It was that guy with the red shirt with his hand out like that, like he's Jurassic Park, you know?
What are you doing?
Trying to tame the raptors. That was pretty funny. You know, maybe get a different color shirt.
Yeah, and he got pummeled.
Did he really?
Well, there was, I don't know if it was that guy.
Someone got
get the last one, and he got pummeled.
Why are volunteers involved? I feel like that's a bad
story to tell people later. Yeah, I rounded up those bulls. Remember that story with the bulls? I was out there.
Don't we have enough cops and people that are professionals, supposedly?
Professional what, matadors?
I don't know.
You guys out there like, ta!
There's probably one animal control guy for the town of Attleboro.
I don't know. Real cops. Put them to, or like the Air National Guard. Put them in front. Like,
send in the troops.
They're at least trained to do things.
To wrangle bulls?
If you're just walking up, like you walk up, Arcan, with your boobs out and just be like, hey, I'm happy to help you guys get the bulls. Well, they're just going to let you get impaled by a bull because you volunteered?
Yeah, probably. They'd rather
sign a waiver?
Somebody else. I don't think so. They know that I'm not like part of the rodeo or that I don't have some sort of liability insurance for me. I don't need to be out there. I'm doing this on my own free will, my own volition.
Yeah.
Something happens to me, no one else is going to have to pay for it. I mean, I have to go to the hospital, I guess. But like, you know, in terms of like liability stuff, I don't think that's good. Cops don't care about that.
I think they should leave it to the professionals, whoever
let the bulls get loose.
Well, that's part of the issue here. I never knew there were rodeos in mall parking lots.
I didn't know that either.
Like, I've always had this thing with carnivals in mall parking lots. I don't really trust the rides because anything that's folded up and they put pins in to hold it together
seems
a little shady.
Mm-hmm.
I would add to that list.
Like, how stable is that parking lot? How flat is it, you know?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So now the same thing is these temporary fences that they're setting up to keep. Don't bulls weigh like 1,200 pounds or something?
Bulls are large animals.
So if eight bulls decide they're leaving, they're pretty much leaving.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this isn't the wall that Trump was trying to build for Mexico.
Adult bulls can weigh between 1,100 and 2,200 pounds.
Yeah. And you think your little bike fence with a couple zip ties on it are going to prevent these guys from leaving?
Probably not.
Who the hell thought this was a good idea?
Now,
I know malls are in trouble and need to find new streams of income.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this was the way to go.
No, unless they want to do the thing inside. Because then it would be tougher for the bull to get out, you know? They'd just be trapped in the mall.
Yeah, but what about the people? Is that mall still open?
What people are in the mall. You don't have to worry about anybody in the mall.
Crickets everywhere.
Guy kicks over, the bull kicks over an Orange Julius, and that's it. There's nobody, Auntie Annie's pretzels. There's nobody else there. Anyway, that's the music. That means our time is up. Cooper Boardman's got the Mass Mutual pregame show. As we say goodbye to you, we'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Alex Cora joins the show at 2:30. Adam Schefter at 3:45. We'll talk to you then right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Bye.